Hello, patrons. Welcome to episode 9's post-show chat. We are down a cast member, but we're going to forge ahead with the rest of us. And one thing I wanted to bring up that kind of was part of this episode tonight was this idea of authorship at the game table and where the line falls in terms of like who's creating the material, the backstory stuff, or the revelations, or the NPCs, or you know, when you play a role playing game, that distribution of authority can fall a bunch of different ways. It can be the GM does everything completely, and the players kind of like all get on board the roller coaster and go on a ride that's been crafted for them, or it can be completely the other way, where there's games that don't have GMs and everyone, it's like a co-GM sort of the game. I feel like a lot of times in the Q&A threads, I get asked, when did you create that thing that Jeff revealed about his character, or like when did you and Jeff collude about it ahead of time and plan it out? And I think the way we've been handling it is potentially interesting to the viewers. So I want to talk about that in general, how we've been doing it, where the material is coming from, and kind of who's the boss of that stuff. I don't know. Maybe you can start us off, Jeff, because Careless has had some kind of revelatory things.
I it's interesting for me because struggle is the wrong word, but it's like I really, really enjoy the spirit of impromptu stuff and like bouncing ideas and acting off of each other. And that's why roleplay is so fun, because I'm not a fucking actor, right? I don't get to go to a studio and do a show or a movie or something like that. But in roleplay, you get to play characters, and I think it's really fun and cool. And to me, it's one of the most rich things to get from roleplaying, where I don't know what John or Zeke or Ann or any Wheat's going to say when I'm like, this is what my character says and does. And I think part of that's really cool because, John, you've allowed for a lot of, like, this is your universe, absolutely. Like, we're playing this game with the guy that freaking created the game. So there's been a lot of times where I've asked John, like, hey, give me a name, or is this okay if this is how it is? Or even in mid-game, I'll be like, John, stop me if I'm overstepping my creative ideas. Because I always want to be sensitive about that. Like, if, you know, it's your universe. I don't want to be like, this is how it is. And you're like, that's not at all how I envisioned it. But it's so fun because everyone here is pretty free about going back and forth, and they're playing actual characters. So, like, I feel like, for instance, my attempt to ruse Aldo was real, and to pull back the curtain for a lot of people, I didn't tell Zeke beforehand that I'm going to lie to him. I didn't tell Zeke that I'm planning on in-game betraying him for a cause. I think there's a fine line to walk where, like, I'm not going to walk up and stab the back of the neck of Miss Cadaby, because that's not fun or anything like that. I think that's stepping over the boundaries. But as far as, like, character interaction, as far as them acting that way, we collab, but a lot of it, I think, in this game, the spirit of it is we just say things and we all like jive off of that and create our own ideas, which is really fun.
Yeah, that's been really fun for me to not know as a GM. It's always more entertaining to show up for game night when you don't know what's going to happen, instead of just kind of being like, well, now they're going to do this, now they're going to do that, and like watch it all sort of step through the paces. Having it be unknown is always more fun. And it is great that you guys are very respectful of the setting itself and aren't just like, no, this is, I want to have a jetpack or whatever, and like kind of push the game itself out of the way to satisfy some urge.
Well, we're all kind of trying. Okay,
now I want a jetpack, so.
Damn it.
I should ask your new fucking best friend, the Scissor Sisters, or whatever the fuck their name is.
The Dimmer Sisters.
Dimmer.
I get a broom. I'm going to get a magical flying broom. I'm just going to become a full witch.
That's close enough.
But that's a good example. Like, last week, Anne was like, my character would like those people, so she made that about it. Can't do every example for everyone, but I think the spirit you should take away from that question is, we all do it ourselves and then bounce it off each other, and we're doing it that way. None of this, as far as I can tell, is Zeke and Anne planning stuff or vice versa and stuff. It's just everyone like, this is it. Is that cool with you? And then we go.
Yeah, there's been a few things where you kind of check in to be like, I kind of want to do something like this. But in general, it's all pretty much impromptu. Like, somebody asked me about that in the community forum. They were like, why did you... You know, like, did you know who they were or whatever? And I had no idea who the Dimmer Sisters were. I had like never heard that before. I think I remember seeing it in the PDF before, but you just mentioned them and I was just like, all right, Ruin likes them for some reason. And we just kind of went from there, you know. I was like, okay, they're creepy old grandmas. Awesome. Ruin thinks that's really cool. So, and then you just go. So it was really cool too for Jeff to like be a part of that and be like, all right, he's going to, you know, Carolus is going to go with her too, rather than just me being like, Ruin goes off on her own quest, you know?
Yeah, I really loved that. I like what you said on the forum too, that it was like once it was already in motion, you realized, oh yeah, Ruin, like she wants to do it because they're scary. She likes scary things. And that was just, none of us planned that. We didn't write it on your character sheet at the beginning of the game. Like,
right.
Ruin likes scary things or whatever. Like it just naturally evolved through the course of us sort of trusting each other as fellow players. Mm-hmm. And there are stakes to it too, and we kind of hit that tonight where it isn't a fully safe endeavor creatively, you know, like Grace had secrets on everyone, and like she had secrets on Ruin, for instance, and mm-hmm. before the game I said like, hey, think about a secret Grace might have about your character, and Anne came up with something that's really cool, and tonight's session could have been about that. It could have been about Aldo in his book. It could have been about Carolus's secret. It could have been about Miss Cadaby's secret. We're all kind of playing in this mode of like, I don't know, you know, we're like showing up for game night, and it's not completely like comfortable. You know, there's a chance that things are going to fizzle or they won't click together the right way. And I think that that's part of the fun of gaming. Like you were saying, Jeff, it's not a packaged product like a scripted mm-hmm. television show or something. Like part of the fun of this is just seeing what happens and letting the chips fall where they may. And so I certainly don't want to plan out everything ahead of time and then send you guys notes and be mm-hmm. like, oh, say, mention this now, or go, mm-hmm. go do my mission that I've made for you over here or whatever.
Well, a little like behind the curtains thing that we can let the patrons in on as far as the book goes, the book changed what it was at least 3 times before it got to me, before it actually got today, where I explained it in that little scene with the cop, the blue coat. Before today, it had changed 3 times to actually what it was. It could have been, I was thinking like a book of rare poetry, maybe something to do with the dark arts or something like that. And then it just went through like several iterations before we landed on this, and I ran it by John and said, this is what I'm thinking, and do with it what thou wilt. And it just sort of, you know, came together tonight for the first time. And I like where it ended.
Yeah, it was nice in a way that it took that many changes, because this last one is the most interesting one, I think. It's cool that we didn't get it on screen earlier than this, because this is a good version of that.
Yeah, I like that it was something really personal.
Yeah. That seems to be like a theme with Aldo too, those like the clash of what you would expect. Big, strong guy, but it's art that is advice. But then also of all of us so far, he's been the most emotional and personable. Like, and what I like about it, not that we're necessarily destined to build towards that, but of anyone to be betrayed, it feels like my heart would break the most if it was Aldo at this point, right? Like, you're kind of rooting for him, but you also think he might be the most human so far, who knows, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
In each situation, like, he's the one that's getting talked into murdering, or when he did have to murder, and we saw his value system there, it was like he did everything he could to make it as compassionate as possible, too. Not forgiving it, obviously, but it was really hard. Like, you had to make him beg, didn't you?
I'm really enjoying the Aldo Ruin counterpoint thing. I hope we get to do an Aldo and Ruin like buddy cop show at some point, because both of their stories are very personal. They're back, like what happened is like people who were close to them were lost, and their reactions to that have been not like totally divergent, but Aldo does seem to be somewhat sentimental, and Ruin seems to be cold and like, no, this, fuck them, who cares, like, mm-hmm. Let's take them out, fine. And I like that we're seeing that contrast, you know. It's cool to see different ways of dealing with that. And then I feel like we have the Miss Cataby careless thing, which are, they seem kind of like professionals in some sense. They're kind of like doing this. We don't know of any deep pain behind what they're doing, which it could exist. We don't know.
Sure. Yet,
but
I've been really enjoying how, and I, this was like one of the biggest selling points for me, getting out of that I needed a selling point. I was just going to do it no matter what, but it was so attractive to me going into this that the game is enhanced, but also dictated by the role playing. So for instance, if this was fifth edition, I would be super uncomfortable with leaving up my lie to a roll, because there's such binaric terms where it's just like, oh, you failed, so this is what happens to you now. Whereas with Zeke, I was really excited to see, obviously, if I succeed, that kind of builds my character more, and I'm excited about that too. But failing was a really challenging, interesting moment as well to see where that went. And I just love dice deciding because it feels so good. But then in this game, it's forgiving, but also challenging in the role-playing aspect. Like, passing the test for her to drink the thing was important to me because I really wanted her to die because I was thinking about that the whole time.
Yeah,
but succeeding in the lie over Zeke, or Aldo, excuse me, is not necessarily super important to me. It changed the dynamic of the relationship, and it put it in an exciting place because that's not where I was expecting it to go. So I just really enjoy that, actually. It's cool.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fun to see. And it goes back to the trust issue. I think we talk about this a lot, but like, we as players, like, we're not cagey with each other. We're not like, what are you going to do if you lie to me, though? Like, wait a minute. There's this great creative collaboration that's happening. Yeah, that's good. Another topic I wanted to hit before we finish is tone, because chat was definitely struck. I was watching it. I was watching all the teary-eyed faces go by in chat tonight. And I think we did definitely have a tonal shift in this session. Not hugely. Like, the game has been fairly serious, I would say, and Rune's backstory in particular is like pretty moving and personal trauma, you know. But having the face-to-face showdown between killer and victim actually played out on screen was, mm-hmm. it felt, when we were going into it, I kind of didn't think about what we were about to do. And then as it started playing out, I was like, oh shit, this is going to be really dark. And then it was. What how did you guys feel about that?
I mean, go ahead. Like, without being kind of involved, I got a lot of just watching, you know, the chat react to it and watching you guys play out the scene. And I was on the same page where I wasn't expecting it to be as dark as it was. But him, like, you know, trying to bargain for his life and then being told to, like, write a note and all that stuff was, like, definitely one of the darker things that we've done so far, because a lot of the people, you know, we are like, oh, we're going to murder this person. And it hasn't been like an innocent person for the most part, you know, like Marlene's like the fighter, and, you know, I feel like I haven't really questioned any of them too much. And this is the first time that I was really like, this is just some like innocent dude who, by the way, helped us mm-hmm. in the first place, you know? So there definitely was like I think it's good to have that kind of crescendo and decrescendo of, you know, tone all the time. So this just happened to be a darker timeline.
Yep.
I gotta say, that was it was really quick thinking and nice work on John's part, putting that in our path, because I was like, yeah, we'll do a job, no problem, we kill whoever. And then you're like, but it's gonna have to be this guy that you know, and this guy helped you.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, fuck, how much is the book worth to you? Like, yeah. And then, yeah, and that's the thing, that's what kind of brought, that was what was in my head during the planning of the murder and the playing out of the murder in my head was, how does Aldo feel about that? Like, how does he feel about, like, killing a guy who doesn't deserve it? Is it just a job to him? Well, He's going to try and think like that, but it's not. It's not just a job to him. And that's why the clock being initiated for him starting to enjoy cold-blooded killing was, I think, the only choice that I could have taken for that. I'm glad you brought that up, because if you are an honorable person and you are made to do something dishonorable, it leaves a stain on you.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a tough thing to play out honestly, you know, to try and like not game anything, really.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a fine line to walk in this game. This is something that comes up with this in general, in a lot of role playing, because in a lot of role playing you play anti-social violent people often, and there's always this line you walk between glorifying violence or hurting people in general versus like being heroes who are violent versus just kind of like walking a middle row where it's not one or the other. It's sort of in the middle. And often with this game, I think there is a gloss that fades, you know, you're like, yeah, we'll be assassins. Yeah. We'll be drug dealers. Yeah. We'll be thieves. And then there's always this arc where you play this game long enough to see the cost of doing this. And it's hard for it to be purely just fun, you know, robbing people, selling drugs to people who are addicts and killing people, and all that stuff is bad, you know. But you want to walk that line. We don't want to have some sort of miserable piece of fiction that everyone shows up to every week and is like, oh, what are these awful people going to do this week, you know. So I think part of that is the setting, like always finding a place in the setting where there are people who are very bad and who kind of have it coming, and you guys preying on those people is righteous in some sense. And so we're going to enjoy watching you take those people down, because they are bad people. They're worse than you. But there are innocent victims, and we found one tonight.
No.
And it was, I really enjoyed it. It was really good, but it's not something you want to stay in. We don't want to keep going on that path every week, because that'll be the worst. Which is good. I'm glad
Jeff kind of hits it heavy from time to time. You know, you don't want to stay in that like a dour, mood all the time.
And it's a check-in for you too as characters. Like, if you only ever have bad people for targets, or you only ever have innocent people for targets, we don't really get to see who you are. If it bounces around, then you guys have to, you make calls. Like, what do we really care about? Do we have a line we won't cross? Do we, you know, that stuff is more interesting, I think. But I am happy that Jeff chose a demon as a target, because that definitely takes us into a different tonal space. We don't have to feel bad about that. Demon's fine.
I'm still confused as to whether it's an actual demon or it's a person or something like that. I can't wait to find out what we're going up against.
Yeah, that'll be,
because if it's a real demon, we might be fucked.
It's mega end game, Zeke.
Wow. Yeah.
That's the thing, is that both Skurlock and, I mean, Skurlock is a tier 3 gang on his own. So I know Jeff was talking about going after him, but I still don't feel like we're anywhere. I mean, we're still tier 0. So I feel like we need to do a lot more before we even step foot in that direction, because we'll just get destroyed instantly. So
yeah, that's something we might want to focus on, like, for now leveling up as a crew is our tier rather than our rep or whatever.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah,
that might be a good direction to go in. It's building up that power level, so to speak, before you tangle big boys, and that'll be fun to explore too. It gets into that more money, more problems kind of part of the game, where you start to grow in power, but that introduces like this kind of infrastructure that you have to deal with. So,
Well, I haven't watched any episodes of the other Blades group that is kind of that is in the same, you know, canon. And the reason why I don't do that, the same reason I didn't watch Light Side or Dark Side when we're doing Balanced Power, is because I want to be surprised. I want to not know who these people are and what I'm like doing and stuff like that. I want to have genuine reactions to all this stuff. And I hope that you throw more Bloodletter shit like in our path. Cause I know the name now. I hope, and I would love to just
Zeke
tangle.
Yeah. Sitara is like their god, basically. Very important.
Fuck off. That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a big deal. They're gonna lose it. I think we're gonna play. That group's gonna play pretty soon. So and partially they've been motivated by this show. They're like, dude, we gotta play. Yeah. No, god, they're messing with our shit.
They left and we went to watch their house and we moved everything around.
That's right.
We went inside their house.
Drugs.
We wrecked up the place.
Oh man. All right. Well, I think that'll do it for our post show tonight. Thank you, cool. patrons, for this opportunity to chat after the show. And thank you to the cast for hanging out and answering my questions and all that. We will see you in the next episode. Thanks Sweet. For watching.
Double digits.
Yeah. 10. So 10.